So tonight, kicking off something new, we're going to be in John chapter 2 tonight, for those of you who are already asking and whatever. Real quick, Colt, can you go fill this up for me? Sink in there. Thank you. All right, so hey, while he's doing that, so we're starting a new series. Talked about it last week, going to talk about it very quick tonight. It's called Upside Down Living. Upside down as in not right side up, as in different. And the little sub thing down here is living the way of Jesus. And so week one tonight, it's called To the Brim. Yes, it does. Okay, the lever on the side, make sure it's pushed over, and then there's a sensor. No, there's a touch, like there's a motion sensor on the side. It's a fancy thing. Sorry, Colt, forgot to tell you. I didn't pick the fancy sink, but I do like it. It makes y'all mad. So here we go. Upside down living. So the whole thing is going to be a series where we look at the words of Jesus. Not the words about Jesus, not the words of Jesus' disciples, not the words of the other teachers, the prophets, nothing like that. We're going to look at Jesus. We'll look at things he said. Now, I'm not a red letter Bible guy. I'm not one of those where it's like, it has to be the red letters or else it doesn't count. That's not me. The whole Bible matters. The whole Bible counts. But I want to focus on what does Jesus say, and then let's be really practical and apply it. So, thank you so much. Oh, no, there was something in it. Cool, thank you. I'm going to get to that in a second. That's it. That's what we're doing. Tonight we're talking about the first miracle. So John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And did I add those? Did I not add those? Yes. Okay. Whew. Good. All right. So on the third day, now wait a minute. I'm going to be clear. This is John chapter 2. Let's use our thinking caps. Is Jesus dead yet? So is this third day like Jesus in the tomb third day? Is it the Christian band third day? No. This is just third day. Okay. This is third day of a week, a specific week in Jesus' life. All right. Here we go. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus, that's important, was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. Pause. If Jesus' mama is there and Jesus is there, whose family is getting married? Probably Jesus's, right? Like, normally an adult doesn't get invited to the same wedding as their mama unless, like, there's family or, like, close connections or whatever. Like, this is adult Jesus and this is full adult, you know, Mother Mary, all that kind of stuff. It's Jesus's family. That's, again, important. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it, and when the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and the people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you've kept the good wine until now." This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Nothing in this is just super astounding on surface level when you read it. This is not one of those things where Jesus says something crazy. There's going to be things we get into where Jesus says to deny yourself, or he says, you know, if you don't hate your mother and father. Spoiler alert, that's not what he means. But we're going to talk about that one in a few weeks. Like, there's crazy things he says. This isn't one of those. So why am I starting here? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because this one, to me, is foundational to everything else. And I'm going to be honest. We have hit a point where there are some things that we've discussed many moons ago that we'll be discussing again. So those of you, it may just be Matthew and Kinsey and Jackson. Okay. Matthew, Kinsey, and Jackson might remember part of what I'm about to talk about here in a second. The rest of you is going to be brand new. Those of you where this feels like it's recycled, I promise you the whole thing's not recycled. Just roll with it. All right, so here we go. Jesus is here at this wedding. It's a family wedding. If Jesus's family is responsible for this wedding and they've run out of wine, who is about to get embarrassed? the family that Jesus is a part of, and that's a social taboo there. Now, I want to clarify two things about this passage before we move on. Number one, how many of y'all heard the part where Jesus said, "Woman, what does this have to do with me?" Did y'all hear that part? Did you kind of like be like, "Wait, what? That seems rude." Y'all thought that? You read this or heard this and thought, "That kind of seems rude." Like, Jesus is like, "Woman?" None of y'all thought that? Nobody ever thinks it that way? This is the equivalent of him saying, "Ma'am." This is not, if I'm talking to somebody and Miss Heather says, "Hey, Jacob," and I go, "Woman," there's a tone to that. It's not going to go well. There's a rudeness to that. If I'm talking to somebody and Miss Heather says, "Jacob," and I go, "Yes, ma'am," that's what Jesus did here. He is addressing her as woman, as somebody in not authority over him, but in status and in deserving of respect, okay? This is him actually being super polite. And then thing two, the whole wine thing, because this is the South, and some of you are from households where, like, all alcohol is of the devil, and some of you are like, it flows freely, and some of you are like, I don't really know what to believe. The Bible talks about wine a lot, and Jesus didn't turn this into grape juice. It is wine. Now, wine, oftentimes in Scripture, is meant to kind of be a reference to joy and blessing. If the wine is flowing, that means it's good times. That means God has blessed them. They're not living in famine if they're able to sit there and like enjoy a wedding with wine, okay? Now, there's a clarification here. The Bible will celebrate with joy and excessive giving of the Lord wine, never drunkenness. And that's the clarifying point there. There is very much there is wine, this is a symbolic thing, that things are okay for the people. But then there is drunkenness is bad. And that one's an always consistent thing. Like, that's just that is how this works in tandem together. So, with those two things, because those are the two things that people get caught up about. They're like, "Oh, so we're going to talk about wine tonight? You're going to say it's okay or not okay?" They're like, "I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm talking about the fact that Jesus turned water into wine. I'm talking about the fact that Jesus saying, 'Woman,' was not disrespectful. It was actually highly respectful." Now, that being said, there's two things Jesus says that we need to talk about. Number one, my hour has not yet come. My hour has not yet come. Y'all heard the Christmas song, "Mary, Did You Know?" Y'all know that one? Yes, no? I'm just going to ask until people respond to me. Yes, we've heard the "Mary, Did You Know?" song. Okay, if you haven't, we're going to play it on repeat every single Wednesday, because y'all need to be tortured by it, because it is the worst Christmas song, because A, yes, she knew, and B, it's just not a very clever song. But the whole song is, "Mary, did you know that you be..." Yes, she knew, because it says it in Luke. Let me find my spot super fast. Here we go. Luke chapter 2. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ, the Lord." So yeah, Mary knew. Okay, moving on. So Mary knows exactly who Jesus is. Does Mary know the extremes of what he's going to do? No, but she knows that Jesus, her baby boy, is special. She knows that he is a gift straight from God. She knows that he is the Savior. And so for Mary to look at Jesus and say, "Hey, I need you to fix this," Jesus is like, "It is not time. I cannot announce who I am yet. It is not time for me to stand publicly and say, I am Jesus the Messiah. It's not time for that yet." That's what he's saying. My hour has not yet come. Mary knows who he is. Jesus knows that Mary knows who he is. And he's just clarifying. He's like, "Mom, not yet. It's not time for me to just make a big deal at this big wedding of like, oh, look at my party trick. I can turn water into wine. What does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." But listen to Mary's response. His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And then you don't see Mary in this passage anymore. Jesus is like, "My hour hasn't come yet." Mary's like, "Do whatever he says." And then Mary disappears and goes back to, you know, being important, you know, woman at a wedding, right? So then Jesus looks at the servants, and you can kind of almost see like the exasperated son of like, "Fine." But then listen to what he says. The next thing. So my hour has not yet come. But two, fill the jars with water. So he ends up honoring his mother and does what she asked, but he says to fill the jars with water. 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim, to the top. So, I'm not picking on you, Colt, but I am picking on you, Colt. Can y'all see the shadow of where that's at? It's about here. So, by normal classification, did he fill this cup up? Yeah, like that's a pretty good level. Like that's a pretty good amount to safely carry and not spill, right? Right? Yes? So his interpretation of what I asked him to do is fine. But is it what I actually asked him to do? I said, hey, Colt, go fill this with water. And I would have done the same thing. I would have put it about right there and then carried it carefully because I'm also clumsy. But what did Jesus say to do? Fill it to the brim. Now, before we get caught up into that, once real quick, what's the problem at the wedding right now? What did he say to go fill the jars with? That's not the answer to the problem, Jesus. We need to go into town and get wine. We need to go beg, borrow, and steal wine. We need to go fix the wine problem. Jesus says, fill these with water, fill it to the brim. That's what they do. They fill it to the brim. And then guess what? Guess what they get to see? They get to bring water, and then they get to see the water scooped out, and then they get to see the water handed to the guy who's in charge of the wedding, and he goes, this is the best wine I've ever tasted. For the master of the wedding, he's looking at it and going, this is just great wine. Good job, bridegroom. So Jesus met a need. Instead of being embarrassed, he's praised, right? His relative, instead of being embarrassed, is being praised. But also, what did those servants just see out of Jesus? Insane power. That makes no sense. You can't do that. You cannot change the substance of something. You can add to it. You can't make it what it's not. Wine is made from what? Grapes. You don't like drop a grape in water and make wine. It's not how this works. They're two separate things. Water is water. You can add things to water, but it's still what at its core? It's water. You cannot make water into wine. You cannot do that. That is a fundamental, like the atoms, the molecules that make it have had to change. So these servants have just witnessed Jesus do something that can any of you do? Can anybody else do? This is not a magic trick. This is not putting flavoring in it. This is not, no, this is he changed what it is. And so Jesus has these disciples who have been following him as a teacher and these servants that are helping at the wedding. And these guys just watched Jesus take jars of water and turn it into the best wine these people had ever tasted. He literally changed it from one thing to another. And so in doing that, what Jesus did was in a small way, not public and grand, but in a small way, he showed a glimpse of his glory. Now, I'll be really careful, and I want to end with this and send you all to D groups. Did the servants change the water to the wine? Did Jesus tell them to go get wine? Did he say, bring me wine? No. If you see a problem and you see we need wine, your natural instinct is going to be to what? Go get wine. But sometimes Jesus is calling you to do something other than what you naturally think is the right answer. Sometimes what your heart and your brain says I need to do is not what Jesus is calling you to do. And you go, but this makes sense. This makes sense. This is good. This would be a good thing. This makes sense. And Jesus says, but it's not what I'm asking you to do. I want you to go put water in the jars. And I want you to fill it. And so I want us to be really clear. This whole idea of just filling it to the brim is this whole thing for tonight. We get distracted by the big things. The conversation around here has come up constantly over the last few years. If you want to save your school, if you want to save your family, if you want to, and those are good things to think about. We absolutely need to be thinking, be gospel-centered people, be gospel-focused, be evangelistic in nature. We are so distracted with the big and miraculous things that only God can do, and we neglect so often the little things that he's called us to do. And so we're going to head to D groups. And as we head to D groups, I just want you to think about what these servants got to witness. Did they do anything miraculous? No. But were they a part of something miraculous? Yes. Did they do anything big or grand? No. But were they a part of something large, something grand, something wonderful? Yes. And so all of us have these little things that God is saying for us to do. Little acts of obedience. But I don't want to do that. I want to do this. I don't want to do the little things. I want to do the big thing. It's like we're disappointed with the opportunities God gives us. Like, this isn't big enough. This is boring. And God's like, just do it and watch what I do. Think about the servants going and filling up those water, like the jars with water. You think they're over there going like, I bet he's going to turn it into wine. No, they're over there going, this is stupid. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it right. That's what I was told to do. And so they bring it full. And because they did the thing they were tasked with, they got to see God do something miraculous. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the lessons, both big and small. God, I pray that you help us to see and then to also obey the things that you are calling us to do. God, there are so many little daily commands and little daily promptings. Lord, help us to be aware of those and to follow those. I pray all these things in your name. Amen.